Well, turning your Bibles to John chapter 3. John chapter 3, we're looking this morning, we're beginning looking at great truths of Christmas. It's that time of the year. Christmas is almost here. We celebrate the birth of our Savior. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him would have eternal life. The truth of Christmas is the birth of our Savior. And God sent His Son to be the substitute, to become a human being, that He would die in our place. And we want to look at it and think of it this way. The baby born in Bethlehem was indeed the Savior of the world. And so as we enjoy Christmas, may we remember that God has loved each of us, and He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to be the satisfactory payment, not for our sins only, but for the whole world, and that the one born in Bethlehem is the Savior. And this morning, we're going to be thinking about that. You know, my favorite time of the year is Christmas. I mean, I love it. I love the memories. I have great memories of my family growing up, and then the memories of my own family now. And it's that special time when families come together, and the fun and the food and the friendship and the lights and the decorations and the songs, and it all comes together to be this special time of the year. We've gathered this morning as those who know Jesus Christ as Savior. We've gathered to worship our Savior. We've gathered to, at this time of the year, to focus on the birth of our Savior, the birth of the one who comes into the world to be the Savior of the world. Then one of the most famous verses of all time is, I asked you to turn to John 3, and of course, John 3:16. I want you to think about this, because this special message tells us about our God and our Savior. Verse 16 says, "For God so loved the world." That's us, every one of us. God, the eternal God, has loved each one of us, that He gave His only begotten Son. The word "only begotten" means unique, unique Son. Here He is. He's the God-man. He gave him to what? To come to the earth, to be born in Bethlehem, to grow up, to live that perfect life, to die on the cross, to pay for sin, and to rise again. He gave His only begotten Son that whosoever, that means anyone, any person, anytime, any place, anywhere, whoever believes in Him, puts their faith in Christ, not their works, not their goodness, not their righteousness, not anything they do, but believing in Him, believing in Christ, will never perish, will never be separated from God, but will have everlasting life, eternal life. Whoever believes in Jesus has eternal life. And this is the great truth of this wonderful season, that the baby born in Bethlehem is the Son of God who was given by the Father to give eternal life to all who believe. Christmas deals with the coming of the Son, what we call the incarnation. Jesus Christ becoming a person. John 1:14, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We ask the question, why would Jesus Christ have to become a person so that He could take our place, so that He could die in our place, so that He could be our substitute and to pay for our sins, to be the perfect man so He could be the Savior? This morning, what we're going to do is, as we look forward to Christmas, we're going to see the flow of basically the Christmas story. And I've got four things I want you to think about. We're going to look at the background. We're going to look at the Old Testament promises and prophecies about the birth, and we're going to go pretty quickly. Then we're going to see the announcement to both Mary and Joseph. Then we're going to actually see the birth of Christ, the event in Bethlehem. And then we're going to talk about the purpose. Why? Why is all of this? So let's start with the background. And we're talking about the promises of God and the prophecies of God. They're two different things, even though you could almost say that they fit together. But I want you to look at some as promises and some as prophecies. Let's start with the promise. The very first promise, and I don't want you to turn there, but it goes all the way back to Genesis chapter 3. After Adam and Eve had sinned, God comes to them and promises in Genesis 3:15 that the seed of woman will crush the head of the serpent, that a descendant, one coming through the woman, would be the one who would crush the serpent, the one who would pay for the sins of mankind, the one who would be the Savior of the world. God would send someone to deal with the issue of sin. He got a little more specific. In Genesis chapter 12, He told Abraham that, "Abraham, your descendant would be the Messiah. Your descendant will be the one that all the world will be blessed through, this Messiah, through this Savior, the one who would be the Savior." Time passed, He got more specific. In 2 Samuel chapter 7, verses 12 through 17, He said to David that, "David, your son, will sit on the throne of Israel forever and be the King of kings and the Lord of lords and be the Messiah, to be the Savior." And so as we think about this, He's the Son of God. He's the Savior. He's the King. Those are the promises. But let's talk about some prophecies. Let's talk about some prophecies, some things that the Bible actually says that's going to happen, dealing with this one who's going to come, this seed of woman, this seed of Abraham, this son of David. One of the most famous ones is this one right here, Isaiah 7:14. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Because we could say this question, how are we going to know which one is the right one, who is the seed of woman, who is the seed of Abraham, who is the son of David? How would we know exactly? Well, the Lord himself is going to give you a sign. Behold, a virgin will be with child. A virgin will be with child and bear a son, and she shall call his name Emmanuel. See, first of all, the virgin will be with child. That's unusual. That's never happened. She's going to have a son. He'll be a boy. He'll become a man. And he will be called Emmanuel, which means literally God with us. And so would be the Son of God, born of a virgin. But there's more. In Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7, it says, a child will be born to us, the son will be given, the government will be upon his shoulders, he'll be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Prince of Peace, Everlasting Father. There'll be no end to the increase of his government. And what we find in those verses is the child is born. That's the human being. The son is given. The son of God's not born. He's given. The son of God's always existed. But at a point in time, he is born as a human being. He's called the Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Prince of Peace. He's the Son of God. It says that the government will be on his shoulders. He will have a government. He'll be a king. There'll be no end to his government. He'll be just and righteous. That's the Messiah, the King, the Son of God, born of a virgin. There's one more. One more that you don't want to miss. One more prophecy. And it's found in Micah. But for you, Bethlehem, Bethlehem Ephratah. By the way, the reason that it says Bethlehem Ephratah, there were two Bethlehems. There was a little bitty Bethlehem, which is in the northern part of Israel, and then there's the little bit bigger, it's a very small town anyway, Bethlehem, which is in the southern part. It says Bethlehem Judah, it's in the tribe of Judah in the southern part by Jerusalem. But for you, Bethlehem Ephratah, too little to be among the clans of Judah. From you, one will go forth from me to be the ruler in Israel. Born in Bethlehem is the one who will be the king. But notice what it says. His goings forth are from long ago, from the days of eternity. This one born in Bethlehem is eternal. He's always existed. In the little town of Bethlehem would be born from the tribe of Judah, the Messiah and the Savior who's existed from all time. So what do we have? The eternal Son of God, born of a virgin, in Bethlehem, coming as Savior and King. That's the promises and that's the prophecies. Well, we've seen that. Well, let's get the announcement. The announcement. It's going to be to two people. It's going to be to Mary, the virgin. That's the one prophesied from the Old Testament that this virgin would have a child. And then Joseph, the husband, the provider and the protector. Let's see this. Let's see Mary, and let's turn to Luke chapter 1. So if you would just turn from John over to Luke, Luke chapter 1, I want you to see something. It's very famous passages. All of us know them. We could quote them. Most of you could quote these without even looking in the Bible because they're so familiar. But let's see the announcement. Now, I want you to picture something because sometimes we don't think about it this way. Mary could have been as young as 14 years old. In that day and time, many women, many girls were married by the time they were 17 or 18. Men by the time they were 20 to 21. If a girl was over 20 to 21 and she wasn't married, she was already considered a little bit older. And like, wonder why? Okay? Why hadn't the matchmaker made them a match? Why haven't they done that? So you picture this little girl that could be as young as 14. Could be as old as 15, 16, 17. And here's what happens. Luke chapter 1, verse 26. Now in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, and in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel. Now by the way, Gabriel is the messenger angel. I mean, he's big time. He's all through the Old Testament, and now he's in the New Testament. Gabriel is the announcing angel. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city in Galilee called Nazareth. Now listen, when you look at Israel and you look at the history of Israel and you look in the northern part of Israel, you think of Capernaum, you think of the Sea of Galilee, but you don't think of Nazareth. Nazareth was a little town. In fact, that's why when Jesus started and somebody said, he's Jesus of Nazareth, one guy said, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? I mean, that's a little bitty town. An angel was sent from God to a city called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph. He was of the descendants of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. So we've got the information. Here's this virgin who's engaged to a man named Joseph, and he's a descendant of King David, and her name was Mary. And what happened? And coming in, he said to her, "Greetings, favored one. The Lord is with you." Now, an angel are very powerful beings, and almost every time in the Bible when you see an angel appearing to people, people are afraid. And this little girl is afraid. I want you to picture her as a little girl, 14, 15, 16 years old. And the angel said, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." She was very perplexed about this statement. She kept pondering, what kind of salutation is this? Who is this? What kind of greeting is this? And the angel said to her, "Don't be afraid," literally, "stop being afraid, Mary, you have found favor with God." Would every one of us in this room like to say we have favor with God? You do, every one of you. God loved you and sent his son to die for you. Every one of us in this room have favor with God. Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world, especially those who believe, as the Bible says. God has great favor on us. Well, he says to Mary, "Don't be afraid, you found favor with God." Don't be afraid, she is the virgin. If we're looking at the prophecies, we know that Isaiah 7:14, that this virgin is going to have a child. This is the one. And then look what he says, verse 31. "And behold, you will conceive in your womb, and you'll bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus." You're going to have a baby boy. His name's Jesus. He'll be great. He'll be called what? The Son of the Most High? You mean he's going to be the Son of God, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David? You mean he's going to take over the throne of Israel? He's going to be the King of Kings? He's going to be the one promised to David? "He shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there will be no end." He's going to take the throne of his father David, and his kingdom will never end. How about that? Mary, the virgin, bringing the Son of God, the King, into the world. Mary says what we all might say, "Wait a minute, I don't know how this is going to be since I am a virgin." And you could almost see the angel saying, "Yeah, you have to be a virgin. This is a good deal, not a bad deal." The angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And for that reason, the Holy Child will be called the Son of God." Mary the Virgin, bringing the Son of God, the King, into the world. The Virgin, the Son, the King, God, the Savior. That's an announcement to her. Well, what about Joseph? Let's look at Matthew. Just, if you can, hold your place there and flip over to Matthew chapter 1. Now, when you start looking at this, most people in history believe that maybe Matthew was a good bit older than Mary. Joseph was a good bit older than Mary. Some people say this. The reason is because as you get further up into the life of Christ, after 12 years old, Joseph is there. But then as Jesus starts his ministry at age 30, Mary's there, but Joseph is gone. And we feel like that Joseph must have died. So some people actually believe that Joseph was a good bit older than Mary. We don't know. We just know that by the time Jesus started his ministry, Joseph has already passed away. He's a good man. Never says a word in the scripture. Never says a word. And every time God deals with Joseph, he comes to him in a dream. Look at Matthew chapter 1, look at verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as followed. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit. Now let's stop and think for a second. Here's this man named Joseph who is engaged to this beautiful little girl, Mary. And they're betrothed, which means they're as good as married as far as the law was concerned. In order to break off the engagement, you had to get a divorce. Now, they didn't live together. They didn't come together. In fact, Joseph was preparing a place. Sometimes it took a year from the time that they were betrothed until the time they were actually married. And so here he is. There's Joseph and his mother, he's betrothed to Mary. And it was before they came together, she's found to be with child by the Holy Spirit. Now, all I want to say to you is, After the angel Gabriel told Mary she was going to have a baby, she left and she was gone for 6 months visiting a relative named Elizabeth. Joseph knows that the one he's betrothed to has been gone for 6 months. She comes back and she says to him, "I'm pregnant." And he says, "Where have you been for 6 months? And what happened?" And she says, "Oh, don't worry about it. It's from the Holy Spirit. It's the Son of God." What would Joseph say? Joseph was a good man. And Joseph loved her. So verse 19, "And Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man and not wanting to disgrace her," because under the Mosaic law, she could be put to death. Or he could go into a public place by the gates of the city and say, "She has been unfaithful to me. Even before we've come together, I divorce her publicly." He could do that. But he was a righteous man. He didn't want to disgrace her, so he planned to send her away secretly. But when he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him, where? In a dream, saying, "Joseph, son of David, don't be afraid to take her as your wife, for the child who has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit." Is of the Holy Spirit. It's just what she said. Now watch the next verse. "She shall bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." He's the Son. He's Jesus. He's the Savior. Wow. So we see in these announcements that the Virgin Mary is going to have a son who's the Son of God. His name's going to be Jesus because he's going to save his people, because he's the King and the Savior of the world. Now, when we think back about all those promises, everything lines up except one. So far, everything lines up except one. And that is, the prophecy was he'd be born in Bethlehem. They don't live in Bethlehem. They live in Nazareth. Now, in the nation of Israel, or the land of Israel, to the northern part of Israel has the Sea of Galilee and the section called Galilee. And there's this little town called Nazareth, and it's way up north. And then there's a part called Samaria in the middle, and then the bottom part's called Judea. And Jerusalem is in Judea, and Bethlehem is 8 miles from Jerusalem. To go from Nazareth to Bethlehem is about 100 and maybe 160 miles. And in that day and time, that's a long way to go anywhere. And we just saw the prophecies, and it'd be the seed of woman, the seed of Abraham, the son of David. We saw that it'd be born in Bethlehem, it'd be son of God, be the Savior and the King. Well, the problem is, they're in Nazareth. How are they going to get to Bethlehem? Turn to Luke 2. We read these verses earlier because we're now going to see the birth. And so in Luke chapter 2, what do we find? In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that a census be taken of all the inhabited earth. Now, Augustus was the ruler of the Roman Empire. They controlled everything. I think Caesar Augustus realized that he wasn't getting all the taxes he should get from the people because he was missing some of the people. So he decided that they would have a census, that they were going to count all the people so they could make sure they got the taxes. It goes on to say here that this was the first census taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And so what they said was, you must all go back to the hometowns of your families. Because all the Jewish people, they all had different, all of the tribes had all the families, and you grew up from the tribe of where your family was. And so this man Joseph was a descendant of David. David's hometown was Bethlehem. Bethlehem. House, Lahem, bread. Bethlehem is the house of bread. And so they got to go back there. Everyone was on his way to register for the census, each to his own city. Joseph says, okay. Joseph went up from Galilee, from the city of Nazareth to Judea. He's going all the way to the south, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem. Why? Because he was of the house and the family of David. So without realizing what he was doing, Caesar Augustus was fulfilling the scripture, because the baby has to be born in Bethlehem. Look what happens. It was in order to register with Mary, who was engaged to him and was with child. Notice it says engaged to him. And while they were there, the days were completed for her to give birth. Now, I want you to understand that it took them a long time to get there. When the decree went out and said everybody's got to get back to their hometowns, Mary was about to have a baby then. She was probably pretty far along, and so they put her on a donkey or a cart or whatever, and they tried to make that trip, and everybody else could travel faster. And by the time they got to Bethlehem, it was just overflowing with people because all the descendants, all the people from the background of David and all those people, they were all there. And when they got there, all the relatives' homes were filled. Even they went to what we call an inn. And an inn was not Holiday Inn. It was not a place that you would want to stay. But if you didn't have any other place to stay, it was okay. It was a big, usually an open kind of place in which there was one big room or maybe several big rooms, and people would pay money and they would just sleep on the floor in there. And when they got there, there was no place for them, so they had to go outside where the animals were kept. And notice it says she gave birth to her firstborn son, and she wrapped him in cloths and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. When they got there, by the time they'd got there, there was no room for them in the inn. See? Born of a virgin in Bethlehem, God fulfills his promises. She gave birth to her firstborn son. I like the verse because it says, and she wrapped him in cloths. A lot of times they did that for babies, but what they did is they took a cloth and they wrapped around to take his arms, to keep his arms by his side so he'd feel protected. And she wrapped him in cloths and she put him in a feed trough. Remember, they're outside. They're out somewhere where the animals are. And so they took and said, here, get all the stuff out of this feed trough. Let's put him down in there. That's what a manger is, a feed trough. But look what happened in that same region. There were some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flock by night. Whose flock? What are they doing? Well, you remember that not far from Bethlehem, 8 miles from Bethlehem, is Jerusalem. At Jerusalem is the temple. At the temple, they offer sacrifices all the time. And many of those sacrifices were sheep and flock and all. And here are some shepherds that most likely they're guarding flock that will be taken to Jerusalem and be used for the sacrifices. So they're watching their flock at night. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them. This is a powerful being. Remember, every time an angel comes, people are afraid. And the glory of the Lord shone right about them. And they were terribly frightened. And the angel said, stop being afraid. Why? Because I bring you good news. Great joy to all the people. A good news message that brings joy to every person. What is that message? Verse 11. For today, in the city of David, that's Bethlehem, there has been born for you a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Think about it. Born a child, a human being, the Savior, the one who would save the world, who is Christ the Lord, the Messiah, the Son of God. These angels tell these shepherds that born in Bethlehem is the Savior of the world. Wow. Well, you know, if you were a shepherd and you heard this, your first thought might be, how are we going to find him? Because if the Savior of the world has been born and the angels told us, we're going to go find him. So look what the angel says. This will be a sign for you. This is how you find him. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a feed trough. He won't be in a hospital. He won't be in somebody's home. He won't be in all of these things that look special. He'll be outside where animals are, wrapped up in a feed trough. And then all of a sudden, there appeared with the angel a whole multitude of heavenly hosts, a whole bunch of angels, and they were praising God, and they were saying, glory to God in the highest. Why? Because this is something they've waited for since Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, that the seed of woman would come and crush the head of the serpent, that the Messiah would come into the world. And now these angels are saying, glory to God in the highest and on earth, peace. This is a message of peace. Peace among men with whom he is well pleased. The promises and the prophecies were fulfilled. Exactly. Jesus Christ was born in Bethlehem of the Virgin Mary. He is the Savior, the Son of God, the Son of David, and the King. And this takes us to the last thing. Why? What's the purpose? Why would the Son of God come into the world born of a virgin? in Bethlehem as the Savior. Why would God send His Son into the world? And we see it. It's to be our Savior and King. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God, and we need a Savior. And around 30 years after this event, Jesus Christ began a ministry that for three and a half years, He announced He was the Messiah, the Savior. He did all the signs, everything, and He went to the cross to be our substitute. 1 Peter 3:18, for Christ died for our sins once for all, the just for the unjust. Galatians 4:5, in the fullness of time, God brought forth His Son, born of a woman, born under law, that He might redeem us. Matthew chapter 2, the wise men came and said, where is the one born King of the Jews? He's our Savior and King. In Revelation 19, verse 16, as He comes as the King of kings and Lord of lords to the earth, it says He has a name written, King of kings and Lord of lords. The one born in Bethlehem is the Savior of the world. And so as John 3:16 says, God loved every one of us in this room. That He gave His Son, Jesus Christ. He gave His Son to leave the glories of heaven, to come into this world, to be born of a virgin, to be ascendant of King David, to be born in Bethlehem, to be the Messiah, the Savior, and the King, so He could die for us, pay for our sins, and rule the world. God loved us. He gave His Son that whosoever, anyone in this room, if you have never understood that right now today, you understand that Jesus died for you. He was born into this world to die for you and to pay for your sins. And He offers you the gift of eternal life. And whoever believes in Him will never perish but have eternal life. If you've never trusted Christ, right now, right where you're sitting, you can put your faith in Jesus Christ as your Savior. You can say, Lord, I believe that Jesus Christ died for me and rose again, and I'm trusting in Him to give me eternal life. We're nearing Christmas. We realize the Christmas story is about the Son of God who was born in Bethlehem of the Virgin so He could die and rise again and pay for our sins so He could be our Savior and our King. So let's think about application. Let's proclaim the great message of Christmas. It's the time. The Savior's come into the world. Jesus Christ is the Son of God who was born in Bethlehem, the born of the Virgin. He came to be the Savior and King. So realize that God fulfills His promises. The Old Testament prophets talked about it. The promises were the seed of woman, the seed of Abraham, the son of David. The prophecies were all that He'd be born in Bethlehem, that He'd be the Messiah and the King, that a virgin would conceive and bring forth a child. God keeps His word. Jesus was born in Bethlehem as the Savior. That's who He is, the Savior and the King. Now, I want you to think about it. Savior and King. First time He came to die to be the Savior. The second time He comes as the King of kings and the Lord of lords. He indeed is the Savior and the King. And as I said a while ago, if you've never put your faith in Christ, right now you can trust in Him and Him alone. The third thing. Let's tell others the truth about Christmas, that God so loved the world that He gave His Son. May we tell others the truth that He is the Savior, that He died and rose again, that the baby born in Bethlehem is the Savior of the world. Let's tell people the real meaning of Christmas. The Savior has come into the world, and all who believe in Him will have everlasting life.